National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History 2. Today is January 17, 1996. This is Take 2, a continuation of the interview with Roland Harrison. I'm still Gabrielle Denman, and Mary Harrison is the recorder. Roland has a newspaper clipping in his hand. Roland, can you tell us?
So this is the newspaper clipping regarding the opening of the new plant, Route 8. Their just department heads, except for this fellow, who was the artist that painted the picture you asked about.
My cousin.
These guys are dead.
Okay, what was the date of that? With the year?
53.
Okay. Now let me just turn off this for 1 second. All right, Roland, I don't know, I think this would be interesting for history. You started this business, this particular business, when?
Well, the predecessor to this company started in 1944.
Okay.
And the business has evolved, totally changed, totally different than it was. But basically, the company's been in existence since 44.
Okay. Now, we're sitting in Roland's office. He's in the process of moving. And it looks like it's put together with rubber bands and paper clips. Except for this high tech.
My desk is doors, as you can see, because my furniture's been sent out to be refinished.
Right. But you started the business in the old-fashioned way with, I guess, typewriters and carbon paper.
Okay.
Tell us how you use new technology.
Oh, we could not exist in that. Without 100 employees, no? Seriously, because our customer orders for us in their computer, and it's automatically transferred during the night into our computer. So we come in the morning, and the orders have been entered in the computer. All we have to do is edit them. Now, that's not all customers, but a lot of the customers transmit their orders electronically. A lot of them fax their orders. You'll notice two fax machines out there running all the time. And in the new building, we're going to have three because they're getting busy signals now. And a certain amount of our invoicing is done by our entering it in our computer, and it's automatically transmitted during the night to the customer's computer. And we don't even mail invoices in the So the new technology is very, very important. Ross is working on going on the internet now, so that you can look up information on our products on the internet. And it's incredible. And there's one little box out there about this high and that wide, which has all the data in it.
Use his hands. This high was about what?
It's about 20 inches high.
What, 12 inches
high? Not even that long. 6 inches.
Okay, for the record, what are you manufacturing?
We make decorative exterior building materials. So we are starting to get into some interior decorative building materials. But all unique type products. You'll see some of our new products at the new building. But we are big in plastic shutters. We're probably biggest in the country in plastic shutters.
So it's not
aluminum's
out?
Not out, but it's a very small
company.
We and our new sister company are undoubtedly the biggest manufacturer of plastic shutters.
What's the name of the company?
The sister company is Tapco International.
Okay, and your company?
It's Builder's Edge. We call it Kingsford/Builder's Edge, because they're actually two companies. Builder's Edge, which is the company that's growing so rapidly, has no employees. Zero. All the work done for Builder's Edge is done by Kingsford.
I thought you were going to say all the work's being done by
technology. No. Kingsford, but I mean, for example, the computers are Kingsford computers. And, the I'm paid by Kingsford. Ross is paid by Kingsford. Our artist is paid by Kingsford. Billy Wedge has no payroll.
It's fair to say it's the management company.
It is a manufacturing and management company, but we also have a plant.
Well, this is a very exciting time for you. I'm glad we got to right now. Okay. Tell us a little bit more about raising your family. What did you have? Vacations together?
Well, that was a religion with us. We always took vacations together. From the time the kids were, 4 or 5 years old.
Leslie, a year old.
Yeah, Leslie, a year old. I was like last, 7. We always took vacations. And we did it before. We did it before that too. We always took. Yeah, we always took our children to
Leslie. Did you want different places or the same?
Different places, but pretty much for a long time to go one place. And then in the early years, we went to Florida with Ross, and then we started going to Kitty Hawk, and that's been up for 36 years.
We took
37 years.
Other than our one trip to New York.
Yeah.
So Kitty Hawk is sort of a tradition.
Right.
Are you still
Which
doing
still
it?
Goes on. Which still goes on.
As your family is staying?
Yeah.
Now tell us about your children, your careers, your grandchildren.
Okay.
Tell us who your children are married.
Well, Ross is married to an Iranian princess.
For real?
No, I'm kidding. We call her the Iranian princess.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell us her name.
Her name is Manaz Masoudi.
Not married, know how to spell that?
She is in charge of the personal care unit at the Jewish Home for the Aged. Pretty well known in the community because of that.
So what was that training? How did you become
it? Didn't any form of training for
it. Really
not. How did Ross find her? How did he meet him? I don't know.
At Roshan? An Iranian Jewish princess. And if you ask how she became Jewish, she became Jewish because Walter Jacobs said, "You're Jewish." Because I can't prove it any other way. She's got a story about her great-grandmother was Jewish.
No, you know what it is? It's very simple. They were all Jewish. The great-grandmother was a Jew. They all married. These women married into Islam. And Islam says the woman takes on the religion of Islam. So they were all Muslims. But because we as Jews say that any child... the religion of the child is the religion of the mother, and the original great-grandmother was a Jew, so she is Jewish. Then she, that woman, that happened each generation, so she's legally Jewish.
And as I understand, they're quite involved with it.
Yeah.
Anybody else in your family?
Involved with it?
Yeah.
Only their daughter, Hermine, who wanted to know why we, what she had, why aren't grandma, why aren't only and grandpa Jewish?
Jewish, no, she has to be Jewish. But then we do belong.
Okay. Well, I have a 75-year membership at Temple thing at home that we've had for, 20 years.
Were you ever involved with the Temple?
Not really.
Right?
I don't think.
Sisterhood.
You did Sisterhood and Ship of Box.
That's National Council Jewish
And Hermine is how old?
Hermine is 5 years old.
And she's a princess as well.
She's a
Okay, how about...
I think she is.
Okay, that's right. And he works with you.
He works with
you. And Lee, tell us about Lee.
Well, Lee is a physician who has a specialty of infectious disease. He's an internist with a subspecialty of infectious diseases. And he's been doing research. He started with the Centers for Disease Control, doing research on certain diseases. And he's now at Johns Hopkins University doing research on certain diseases. And he teaches also, he's an associate or assistant professor?
Associate
professor at Johns Hopkins.
Tell us a little bit about his language skills and his travels, how his work is involved.
He's got a real knack for languages. He's extremely fluent in Spanish and Portuguese and Italian. He also speaks French and German. He just has a knack for picking up languages. It's unusual.
And how does that help with his work?
Well, it probably got him started in his work, because when he was with the CDC, they sent him to places like Brazil and where he could use his language.
More as a translator, almost, as a medical student.
Yeah, some of it was translated.
For the record, when it tells the CDC?
Centers for Disease Control.
And that's out of Atlanta.
Federally funded program.
So he has done missions in, as I believe, quite a number of developing.
He's in Brazil right now.
That's where his aid is.
And he's working in Alaska too. He's been to Alaska a number of times recently. But he's also been in Africa.
West Africa.
Paris, where that was for context.
Egypt?
He
was there for the near Mecca?
You mean he goes where there are outbreaks of things?
Right now he's doing certain studies. He's working on respiratory diseases in India. And he's studying the Indians in Alaska.
Now, is he married?
He's married recently for the second time.
And what's his
wife's
name?
Wife's name is Cindy Miller. And very nice girl.
High school sweetheart?
Oh, yeah, high school sweetheart.
Oh, really?
An item. In high school.
Okay. And how about Leslie? Who's she married to?
Leslie is married to Greg. I'm going to say Greek Rudy. Greg Rudy, whose family is Greek. And he's a very nice guy. He's a computer type guy who is working right now with Sybase, which is a database system.
Yeah,
that's
Okay.
You're the recorder. And he was with Digital for a long time, but Digital's been cutting back. And as they kept cutting back, he kept staying. I mean, they would move him from one job to another, but he was obviously very valuable. But the day came, he said, "I better get out of here before they catch me too." And he went to Sybase.
And tell us about their children.
Well, Leslie went through early menopause, and they have three in vitro children. One is named Harrison, the first name is Harrison, and he is 4 years old. And there are two brand new twins, a boy named Dome and a woman named Nicole.
So she's got her hands.
She's got her hands.
I imagine that she's working at home.
She's working at home.
With her computer.
With her computer, primarily, I think, with Yale University.
But isn't that wonderful that she's able to do it?
Oh, okay.
Continue to work.
Great.
Again, technology, which maybe in the year, well, they'll have more technology. Okay. Were you, or are you, involved in any community activities, volunteer?
I was involved for 25 years as a volunteer fireman.
That's right. How was that?
Oh, it was fun.
What kind of training did you have?
Every training session, was every week, Mary? One night a week. And went to a school, North Park Fire School. Very well. well trained.
Really grew some fire.
We were very well. We were better trained than the city fire.
Were there any requirements to become a volunteer fireman? Physical requirements?
We had some guys with heart conditions who would direct traffic, and like Bob Taylor.
Did you have to have a physical exam? Do you think now you would
have to? I don't know. It wasn't that long ago that I left. Actually, one of the things I did in the 25 years I was with it, I headed a team which rewrote the bylaws of the fire department. And we put into the bylaws that in order to maintain your membership, you had to attend a certain number of meetings. And when this business started to grow, I couldn't attend the number of meetings. Got thrown out on the rules I had written. I got thrown out.
I bet your children were very proud of your dad. It was fun.
Yeah, well, Ross tried out for a couple of times. He was involved in a couple of fires.
Is there still a volunteer fire company?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this whole area. A good volunteer fire department is better than a paid fire department.
Really?
They aren't all good. Not all the volunteer fire departments are good, but a good volunteer fire department is very, very good.
Do you know how, well, I was going to say, do you know the history of the fire department? How long it's been in existence?
Well, I think the volunteer fire department in Fox Chapel, which is the one I started, did not go back too far before I joined. They, in the early days, they had a fire. They called the neighbors and they helped you.
Were you, besides Rosh Hashanah, were you affiliated with any other Jewish organization, club?
Belonged to Concordia Club for a number of years. You still want to be known as a Jewish man?
Yeah. How about country
club? So not a Jewish country club. For the last 7 or 8 or 10 years, we've gone to the Wadler country club. That's something that's a certainly not a Jewish club. Non-specific
country. Any other community?
Oh, I went to the Rotary for a while, Jarford. And the same thing, I didn't know this, when they asked me to join Rotary, people who belong to Rotary pride themselves on their attendance records. I mean, some guy from the seat wearing a gold pin or a pin with a dime, it means he hasn't missed a meeting in 30 years. I missed meetings. And they resigned, they asked me to leave, and I was missing something. No matter which came first, the meeting or the business. Their story was, well, it doesn't matter whether you're in Pittsburgh or in Chicago. You can go to meetings in Chicago.
Well, that counts.
Yeah, but I was there for a purpose, not to go to meetings. You know, yeah, no, you can maintain your memory. Oh, some guy, one customer of ours, he was from nothing about it. He was in West Africa, and he went to meetings in West Africa, so he didn't break his...
That's true.
Well, of course, it's also a nice way, for, you know, if you're traveling and staying meet the people and make friendships. Okay.
We were very active in the Fox Chapel
District Association.
And the only reason I'm mentioning that, we were very active. They started, the ladies of Philly started Philly's trip.
Oh, really? Which is
systematically devoured in the last few years by deer. Am I right? I mean, about this.
I've never been much of a joiner of anything. I mean, certainly not Mr. Social Walk either. Mm-hmm.
Talk about business, children. And you're still active in business. Especially right now. So that these questions that I'm looking at probably we might have to interview you again in 5 years. How do you view your accomplishments?
Very modestly.
But they certainly are quite remarkable. In retrospect, is there something you would do differently? So, as I said, easy questions. Point. Do you have any comments on Pittsburgh Jewish life today?
Well, I think it's become far more religious than it was, at least it appears to me. I mean, Rose Sholem, from being almost a church, has become a real ethnic place.
Why do you think?
I wasn't taught Hebrew. They didn't even teach Hebrew. And the way they teach Hebrew, and they have children's services.
You think they
and bar mitzvahs, yeah, and the rabbis wearing a talis. They've got a cantor now. They got four rabbis, they used to have two. No, I think it's become much more.
Do you think that is a reflection of time?
It seems to me that people have become less religious, so I don't understand. No, I don't know what it is. I don't understand.
Would Constable
Don
be
on? But I never did feel good. I felt sleepy.
Okay, Mary, do you have anything else to add?
The only thing
before
I felt
silly?
Like, no, I
think one thing that should be emphasized is that even though we haven't been going, we have never, we joined Rhoda Sholem together as a couple, the day we, 2 months or 3 months before we married, and we have never given up our membership nor have we given up.
I am a Jew through and through. I do not particularly believe in formal religion. I get nothing out of going and saying a prayer on Rosh Hashanah that I said last year, the year before, and the year before. It doesn't do anything for me because it makes me sleepy. So I just have no formal religion. I don't believe in formal religion.
How about your friends? Are they primarily Jewish? Can you make some judgment? How do you feel most? You feel? Yeah, tell us that.
What's
those
three
when Saturday night?
We're primarily German Jewish. From the German mafia.
Mary, do you have any other questions?
No, I don't want to be Brian Rowland with the one question you always ask if you're not in business.
The mortgage is still open.
I can see
it's still
it.
The unfinished business is the mortgage.
The mortgage and moving. Oh, my word. Well, we thank you very, very much. If you want to show us your new office building, I'd love to see it.
Okay. I'll buy you lunch, too.
Oh, my, wow. That's a perk. We thank you, and maybe in 5 years we'll come again and update, because I don't think your business is finished.
Oh, it is.
Thank you.